I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Wolves looked great last night. They beat Golden State 119-99, and Malik Beasley with the three-pointers. Maxi, looking good.
Yeah, five threes from Malik. He's always got a shot that looks like it's going in, and he shoots it with confidence. And a lot of nights it doesn't go in. And, you know, he's a valuable piece to this team because they need him coming off the bench to do just that. But when it's going in, like it did last night in the second half, it's really impressive to watch because it looks, he makes the game look so easy, as do all great three-point shooters when they get into some kind of rhythm and you keep finding them. And they kept finding him last night against Golden State, and he was burying the looks. But, yeah, he's an important piece to this team. Because if with he and Beverly able to come in spurts and provide kind of instant offense or a spark defensively too, for in Beverly's case, those are the kind of things that separate you from being on the outside looking in and being a playoff team. And so he is they're paying him well, and he's an important piece of this team. If he can shoot the ball consistently, that means a lot to this team.
Certainly does. And they play the Knicks tomorrow night at 6.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau at New York again, and they got him last time here. And, the Knicks started strong, and they've been just okay ever since. They've had a couple injuries there. But, a winnable game on the road for the Wolves. They play back-to-back nights against Atlanta, too, who's always fun to watch with Trae Young. Every week now, what's fun is when you get a team that, they're a game under 500, so I'm not, let's not oversell here. But They're peeking at a possible playoff spot and maybe positioning themselves to try to make the playoffs, which would be a neat step or progression for this franchise and this organization. And that makes every week, I've noticed myself at least, as opposed to saying, let's see, who do they got tomorrow? You're going, let's take a look at this week. Who do the Wolves got? Can they win two out of three this week? And that's when it gets fun to be a fan.
Yes. For sure. It certainly does. It's 8:43, coming up on 8:43. I'm Vinita Sakkar talking to Mike Max. And the list for the Vikings, I thought this was interesting. They're actually tweeting out pictures and who they're interviewing with names. Is that usually what teams do? This seems kind of unusual to me.
I was trying to figure this out, Vinita, if this is a new NFL thing where they're saying, hey, everybody knows anyway, let's just get it out there. Or if it's something where are they only tweeting out who it is that gives them permission to. Because some guys want their names out there, and they want people to know that they've been interviewed because it ups their status for future reference. Even if they don't get the job, it looks like, well, if the Vikings consider you, then maybe you're worth taking a look at. Now, having said that, I got a text yesterday that said that they just completed an interview with Hackett from one of the Vikings people, and I thought, is he handing me a scoop?
Ooh.
Little did I know.
Yeah, I know. That was out there.
Sent
anyway
to everybody. Yeah.
You're like, aw.
Yeah. I thought, wow, they've never done this. And then I found out everybody in the media got the same text. In some respects, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's like everybody knows. Let's not pretend, for better or worse. The only thing I'm thinking is there may be guys out there that don't want their name out there. There's different reasons, where you're at in your contract. You don't want to be seen as a failure, things like that. So I wonder if they're sending all of them out or only the ones that say that's okay.
That makes sense. That'd be interesting to know. How do you think yesterday's games, this weekend's games, will have an impact on that list? Anything that
happened? Well, I said, we're talking about 7:40. I mean, the Dallas offensive coordinator became a little tougher sell in my mind,
yeah,
just because of perception. And, right. And maybe you can blame the head coach for it, maybe whatever. But they looked like they didn't know what they should be doing at the end of a game. And that's not good. And they didn't play very well overall. Even with Joey Bosa leaving the game for San Francisco, got pressure on Dallas all day. And Dallas did not look good offensively.
A lot of yesterday. Penalties.
It's a ton of penalties and just no rhythm. And, who are you? What are you trying to do here? You can't get the ball to Lamb. Ezekiel Elliott's okay. He's not what he used to be. San Francisco gives you a couple. They have a couple of injuries and you can't do much with that. That was not an impressive day. Now, the flip side of that, though, Vadina, and this is where it gets so tricky, is, they interview Hackett from the Green Bay Packers, the offensive coordinator. Well, it makes sense, right? You got number one seed and a great offense. Well, does he really have much to do with it, or is it just make sure Aaron Rodgers gets to the game on time, you know? And if Aaron Rodgers gets the game on time, you're probably going to have a pretty good offense, whether he's the offensive coordinator or not, because Rodgers is going to make a lot of decisions on their own, on his own. So that's where it gets tricky, and I find it fascinating, this interview process, that as you look at it, Austin Ford is a kid, Minnesota Morris is a quarterback there. You know, so he's he has local ties, and he's kind of been rising the last couple of years with Tennessee. He's the general manager candidate that they talked to yesterday. My younger brother was the quarterback there just a couple of years before him, so I used to follow that program quite a bit. And the Cougars up there in the Western Plains, but you know, guys like him that are kind of football junkies that get into it and they play it as hard as they can, as long as they can. Sometimes have a pretty good mind for the game, and he'll get some other looks here. He's only 43 years old, but yeah, the process is interesting, and it's by committee. You and I talked about this last week. That's always a little bit concerning because you're not quite sure who's making the decision, who's making the call, and how are you going about your business. It's easier sometimes to have one person lead it, but if that one person's not good, then you're in big trouble.
Hey, 15 seconds, Wild at Colorado, a little afternoon action.
Afternoon action, yeah. It's fun because these are two teams that, well, first of all, last year they played each other every other day, it seemed like, in that Western Conference bubble. Right. But a good team, a fun team, and a measuring stick for the Wild today.
Certainly. Thanks so much, Maxie.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.